You're listening to a previously recorded Gulf Coast Live. I'm John Davis. Thanks for joining us. Not all chocolates are created equal, and a Florida chocolate factory owner is out to change people's perception of the beloved confection. Later in the show, WGCU's Julie Glenn talks with chocolatier Dennis Castronovo, a pioneer in the sustainable bean-to-bar movement. But first, the local arts nonprofit Love Your Rebellion hosts an all-ages Arts Across the Border event this weekend called Punk Brunch at the Fort Myers Regional Library in downtown Fort Myers. The event includes live music from local rock and punk bands, including some we featured on this show and some we haven't yet. The event also includes live interpretive painting, arts and crafts vendors, food vendors, and even patchmaking and zine-making stations. The festivities run from noon to 4 this Saturday. Joining me now for a punk brunch preview is event organizer and Love Your Rebellion founder and president Angela Page. Page is also the front woman of the local punk post-punk band The Young Dead, which is currently in the process of recording a new EP. Page is also studio manager at Six Finger Studios at the Sydney and Byrne Davis Art Center, where she also works as the center's marketing and promotions manager. And her tireless efforts on behalf of fostering the local art scene have also made her something of a frequent guest on this show. Angela Page, welcome back.
Hi, John.
And in December, Page released her first book of poetry exploring themes of gender, sex, sexuality, and identity, titled Speaking with My Second Mouth. The book is available in paperback and through Kindle. And ahead of her official book release event next month, we're also going to be talking about that today and hearing Page read excerpts from the book. As always, I invite listeners to join the conversation as well. The phone number is 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media. And on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. So let's start off with punk brunch. And I have to say, what initially jumped out to me when I heard this described was the term all ages.
Yeah.
Attracting those younger members of the local art scene who perhaps can't get into your more typical alcohol serving venues. Was that part of the motivation for wanting to put this on?
Absolutely. Yeah. I've had this conversation a lot with musicians in the scene and folks who go to shows in our scene who are over 21. And the fact that there's not a lot of places that do all-ages shows is really difficult for the younger audiences. It's hard for the musicians to reach them, and it's hard for them to find what's going on in their own town. So the part of the impetus for this was to make something that was accessible to everybody.
Yeah, I've even, you know, worked with some performers at these venues who are they're performing on the stage, but otherwise they wouldn't even be able to get in.
Yeah, and the only way you get in is if you play.
That's right. Well, before we get into the music, let's explore the visual arts aspect of this event. You've got Will Okada, of course, Lee Brettschneider. Tell me about, you know, some of these visual artists. And full disclosure, you know, Brettschneider's art is all over my apartment, so this is more for the listeners.
Well, each artist brings their own vision to their works, and they're all very different. Each of them thematically are different in the way that they approach their art. But they're all going to be doing some live visual art during the show, interpreting the music of one of the bands that's performing. So that's kind of the point. I believe all of them are doing painting. All of them do paint as one of their primary mediums. And I encourage them to do something interesting. So, you know, I told them, bring whatever size canvas as long as it fits on the plaza. And, you know, I told them they could continue to paint throughout the event if they don't finish their piece, you know. And each one of them is part of the local art scene. Dharma is a big part of the local art scene. She works with us at the Sydney and Byrne Davis Art Center. And she's done art group art shows and a lot of different stuff around the community. Lee does well in not only in our market, but out of market as well. He sells things online and he has a pretty good following. Victor Matos, I kind of think of his art as Japanese style art meets hip hop. These two things kind of mix together, and he really represents that. And Willow is a lot of like Sugar Skull type art. So each one of them are going to bring something different.
Yeah, quite unique approaches. Mm-hmm. And of course, there's going to be the performance element that we just talked about. Let's go ahead and talk about the bands involved, because I know your own band, The Young Dead, is going to be one of the performers. Mm-hmm. And you guys are working on your EP. Are we going to maybe hear songs that are going to be newer, even to Young Dead fans?
Yeah, if you've been to a Young Dead show within the new year, you probably heard some of them. But yeah, you're going to hear some new stuff from us. Pretty much our set list has been gutted of a lot of the older things, and we're excited to play all the new stuff that we're writing.
All right. And we spoke with members of Cobras and heard selections from their EP Stage Stomp when that came out last year on this show. But as a reminder, how would you characterize their music?
Cobras is like alternative rock with a little bit of synth, I would say. I think they're writing new stuff now too, and it's a little bit more synth than rock. So that should be really fun. I'm looking forward to seeing that.
All right. And, you know, another performer is going to be the band The Kimberleys, who lamentably we haven't featured on Gulf Coast Live yet. And we've got a recorded selection from them. So let's go ahead and hear their song Catastrophe.
Catastrophe. You are always in my dreams. I'm asleep, and when I am at home, I know I'm not alone. I wish I was alone. I wish I was. Catastrophe. You are always in my dreams. I'm asleep, and when I am at home, I know I'm not alone. I wish I was alone. Just a dream.
That was the song Catastrophe by Southwest Florida's own psychedelic blues rock trio, The Kimberleys. They'll be performing this Saturday at the multi-arts event Punk Brunch. If you're just joining us, we're speaking with the event's organizer, Angela Page. And listeners can join our conversation. Phone lines are open at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. Other aspects of this event, there's going to be a patch-making session.
Yeah.
Why?
Well, patches are very punk. We all know that.
Yeah.
So I wanted to think of craft gifts that people could do very quickly and come away with something. So it'll be free to make a patch with a suggested donation to Love Your Bellion, which is a nonprofit. We'll have stencils and duck cloth for the actual patches that are cut into squares and, you know, paint for it and everything. And so people are encouraged to kind of just sit down at the table, make patches and keep them, you know, do whatever they want with them. So just fun, just something fun to do while you eat and listen to music, you know.
All right. Also, there's going to be a zine making station. Now, we did a show with a fellow Love Your Rebellion board member, Melissa Vanderbert, with the FGCU Library Special Archive or Collections and Special Archives. I did that backwards. Anyway, so but for the uninitiated, just tell us a bit about what zines are and what this zine making station is all about. Is this going to be like a workshop of sorts?
Yeah, it's not necessarily a sit down workshop, but we're going to teach people how to make a mini zine out of an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper and a pair of scissors. So that's all you need. So and we'll have all the other tools. It's like a 6-panel. Little tiny booklet that ends up being like a few inches across, you know. Zines are artists and writing personal books that they put out into the world. So it's kind of like shirking the publishing world of, you know, the gatekeepers of publishing and art and writing and just getting your work out there. So that's what zines are all about. So we want to teach people how to embrace that art form. So that's why.
And I know there's also a zine sort of under the umbrella of Love Your Rebellion. Will this perhaps also serve as an avenue for maybe garnering submissions for that? Or is this really more perhaps about, you know, fostering an interest in zine making in the event's younger attendees who may be looking for an outlet for their voices?
It's definitely about fostering the interest. We are happy to accept submissions of art and writing. Our submissions are open for our upcoming zine, but this specifically is just to encourage people to go forward with making their own art and doing their own writing regardless of what the world tells them and giving them a mode to do that. I did this workshop before with the library during their Comic Fest, and I had like a few teens between like 12 and 14 making zines, and some of them were so excited to find a way that they could make something while they're in school even and on their lunch break and draw a little comic out or whatever they want. So I just want to show people what they can do with simple items.
I experimented in zine making myself several years ago. I encourage others to do the same. But while we're on the topic of writing, let's go ahead and segue into your new book of poetry, Speaking With My Second Mouth. First off, when I see your face and hear your name, the first thing that comes to mind are, you know, high-energy music performances. But your formal educational background is really in English literature, writing, and creative writing. I mean, you have an MFA.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I have an MFA from Goddard College, which I love. And it actually did shape the way that I write music and do other things. Going through a poetry MFA taught me about the musicality of words. And so that helps me as a songwriter.
So it goes without saying, you know, writing has been a passion of yours for a long time now. What inspired you to put out this book of poetry now?
That's a good question. So it's been around a long time, and I've put out probably about a third of it in journals published through small magazines and things like that. But I've tried to get it published, and I'm going to be honest, the themes, people are not really great at accepting the themes in the book, the publishers. I explore – and of course I won't read these today, but I do explore like pornography – vulgarity in poetry, like, you know, most poems people think of as like bird poems, you know, very like soft. That's what I call them, very soft. But I explored the harder aspects of language and how to make them soft and, you know, using them to express parts of my identity that really can't be expressed any other way. So not all the pieces are like that, you know, but I felt as if publishers were not interested in what I had to say. So I just decided, well, you know what? I'm going to do it myself. I'm just going to, again, like I make zines and all these things. So why am I asking the gatekeepers for the keys?
Yeah.
You know? So I'm just going to go and publish it myself. And that's what I decided to do. I finally figured out how to self-publish through Kindle. And then it became pretty simple because I have a history of doing production on that type of thing with the zines. So it was pretty easy to make it myself when I learned. Yeah.
Well, can you share a selection from it?
Yes, I can. And I did choose something that I felt was appropriate for the radio. So
okay. If you want to say anything by way of introduction, sure. Or just dive right in, or however you want to do it.
So a big part of this collection hinges around my family dynamic. My father came out when I was 13 years old, and that definitely had a big impact on the way I was raised and my family dynamic period. So this is literally the moment. So here we go. It's called Nightcap. Papa drank one scotch a night. Brown liquor on ice cut 3/4 with water in a crystal bell cup. A murky lake. Me on his knee. Him sneaking me sips at 3, 5, 7. He ate dinner at 9 after all of us. Mama had done the dishes. Her face a crumpled wet rag. Fratello found the lock on his bedroom door and played no music. Maybe Nintendo. Papa fed me mushrooms from the chicken marsala. Wine and scotch sugar tum. At 11, I wanted water. I sucked the scotch from the ice cubes, but left the liquid. I never made it to the kitchen for a drink. Halted in the hallway between bedroom and living room by the voice of a preacher on TV. There is a cure. Mama asked Papa, "Are you still attracted to women?" I slid down the wall, thirsty.
Wow. It's the poem Nightcap by Angela Page, and it's one of the selections from her new book, Speaking With My Second Mouth. Such vivid imagery. I mean, I can really – you can see it. You can see it there. And then talking about the man on TV, there is a cure. It really kind of puts you in not just from the moment of you being the child, but also that particular moment in – our history, you know, as far as social progress is concerned.
Yeah. This is the late 90s here is probably that time period. And what's really weird about this that I just realized that I'm going to say out loud? I'm not sure that my parents even know about this moment. I don't think that they know that I was outside the kitchen still to this day.
No.
So there are things in this collection that are extremely personal in that way. So anybody who reads this is going to get to know me in ways that sometimes not even my own parents know. So now they know. And once they read the book, they'll know, which is cool with me. But that's why I think it's so vivid, is because I reached very deep into places that, like, you know, most people don't know anything about, which is kind of interesting, I guess. It's what poetry is about to me.
It's scary to be that vulnerable.
Yeah, it really is, and I only do it on paper.
Yeah, okay.
Pretty much. I mean, I feel like most people know me, and if they know me personally, they're like, oh, that tough girl that, you know, she's intimidating, or oh, she's strong, or whatever. But everybody has their spots, their soft spots.
So. I have to say, I was intimidated the first few times I saw you until you actually struck up a conversation with me, and I'm like, oh, she's so normal and down to earth.
Yeah, I'm not going to yell at you 24/7, John.
Well, do you want to share another selection with
us? Sure. I will. So some of this is a lyric verse and some of it is prose poetry. The selection I just read was a prose poem, and this is a lyric verse piece. It's a little shorter. I also explore my own personal relationships in this book, so this is more along those lines. This poem is called Rot. Part of me likes to see fruit rot, to keep it until it's brown like dirt, clumped like mud. It's the same part of me that ends a relationship long after it's over. It's easier to trash the thing I wanted, green in the store, forgotten in the fridge, when it's patterned with wormholes, oozing sour juice, no longer the ripe, sweet apple I imagined.
Oh, I love that. That poem was called Rot by Angela Page. And again, we're discussing her first book of poetry, newly released, called Speaking With My Second Mouth. I don't know if this is what was intended, but what I sort of took away from that was kind of something about how sometimes we do some self-sabotage things type activities, just in terms of like with the fruit itself, like you remember buying it, but then you just let it sit there till it's no good anymore. And of course, the metaphor is really about relationships, but I really appreciate how brief it is as well. It kind of reminds me of some Langston Hughes style poems that were really short that have just stick with me.
Thanks. Yeah. I think it's a part of a technique called exploding the moment, taking one small thing and then making it larger and its own complete concept. So you are right in the sense that the piece is about neglect, you know, and it's also about not taking advantage of something when it's at its most ripe. I did a spoken piece for the news press last year about my tattoo that says ripe fruit attracts by its color. So this is like a common theme in my life that I think about the concept of the right place, the right time. And a piece of ripe fruit is the absolute most quintessential example of that to me. Yeah. You want to have it at its most sweet. You know, so and that's what this is about, wanting a relationship at its most sweet and hanging on to it until it's well past the point of where it's doing you any good. So,
yeah. Well, earlier you had talked about, you know, realizing sort of the musicality of words. And I'm wondering if when you sit down to write, do you set aside like this is lyric writing time and this is poetry writing time, or is it really just.
It all comes together as the same, and to be honest with you, I try to approach my song lyrics the same way I approach my poetry. There's a really famous thing between John Lennon and Paul McCartney where John Lennon was like, I'm not a songwriter, and Paul said, well, you have words, right? And John said, yeah, and Paul says, well, then you have songs. So I try to approach them as the same thing and rarely make the lyrics fit the song versus the song fit the lyrics, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I think things are better suited for the page versus the song for whatever reason, you know, just how it forms, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, sometimes you don't really know until you actually finish.
Nope. Yeah. Just words coming out of me and then they end up where they end up, which is nowhere sometimes.
All right. Do you feel like the themes that you tackle in this book kind of also overlap with the mission of Love Your Rebellion in some ways? I mean, I'm just thinking about how Love Your Rebellion, there is an activist sort of aspect of it, and that would, of course, include people who are, you know, genderqueer or questioning and you know, exploring identity and sexuality is part of what you're doing with this book.
I think it's just a theme for my whole life.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, clearly from a very young age, these themes became very impactful and present. You know, I don't think maybe most kids have the experience of having something about gender and sexuality be so front and center within their family dynamic, you know, so it changed the way that I view the world. I think it changed it for the better, personally. You know, I think anything, you know, that happens in the family when you're young is hard to go through, regardless of what it is. But in the, you know, in hindsight, I would say that it only improved the person that I am and made me more compassionate and more of an understanding person. And also did lead me in some ways to cultivate things that empower people because – and I hope my dad's cool with me saying all this, but I think he is. But, you know, part of the reason why he didn't come out earlier than being in his 40s is because he didn't feel like he had community support and the support from his family, you know, his brothers, sisters, et cetera, because of society, yeah. Societal norms. And so – why not cultivate spaces and things and practices that empower people to be who they are, which is literally all I want to do with Love Your Rebellion. So,
yeah. Well, let's do a little housekeeping here. The book I mentioned is available on Kindle. We've also got a paperback copy here. Where can folks get their hands on a physical copy if they don't do the Kindle thing?
You can buy it off of Amazon, but also at my book release party on February 9th at Bullig Coffee and Bites. I'm going to have copies available for purchase for $10, and they'll be signed by me as well.
And you'll be doing readings there. There'll be a Q&A. Tell me about what attendees can expect.
Yes, I'm going to do a reading and I'm going to read selections that encompass all aspects of the craft that I explored through this book and some of the themes. And I am going to discuss craft specifically. So I did spend a lot of time working on these pieces and figuring out how to shape them and what kind of impact that would make. So I'm going to focus a lot of my discussion on that. And I encourage people to go and get the book on Kindle and read it ahead of time. So if they have questions about the pieces, I'd be happy to answer anything that they would like to know.
All right. And also, you know, Southwest Florida award-winning songwriter and vocal powerhouse Kyle Ann Duggan is going to be performing. And you're actually going to perform together.
Yeah. She's going to do some original selections throughout the piece to break up some of the talking points. And then she and I will do a duet at the end of the show.
All right. Excellent. Excellent. And again, that is going to be on February 9th. Tell folks where that's going to be taking place.
At Bullig Coffee and Bites, which is next to the Butterfly Estates off of Fowler.
All right. All right. Well, that is about all the time we have for this portion of the show. But I want to thank my multi-talented guest, Angela Page, frontwoman of the band The Young Dead, founder of the nonprofit Love Your Rebellion, and poetry writer behind the new book, Speaking With My Second Mouth. And Punk Brunch, which we talked about earlier, takes place this Saturday. That's from noon to 4 at the Fort Myers Regional Library in downtown Fort Myers. And the event marking the release of her first book of poetry is going to take place Saturday, February 9th from noon to 2 o'clock, again at Bullig Coffee and Bites in Fort Myers on Fowler Street. And that event is also going to feature live music by local singer-songwriter Kyle Ann Duggan. Angela Page, thanks so much.
Thank you, John. It was a pleasure.
We're taking a short break, but when we return, we'll delve into the world of single-origin chocolate to learn why chocolate, where chocolate is grown, rather, matters. I'm John Davis, and you're listening to Gulf Coast Live. Stay with us.